بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I've said this once and I'm saying it again and I've said this a million times. Be careful who you take your deen from. Be careful who you take your religion from. This is a very basic fundamental usul that is taught by everybody. Now, obviously, I don't have to say that, but I'll still say it, which is that I'm not saying that take it from me. You take it from me or don't take it from me, that's up to you. But be careful who you take your deen from. The reason I'm saying is because people have a tendency to do two things. One is that they talk to anybody about what they do. I make this dhikr at this time, I do this, I do that, I pray this, I pray that. And then those people have opinions. So they say, oh, but you know, this is what you're doing, this is right or this is wrong and so on. And then you get confused. And your salah, everything gets into problems. Now, my point is that first and foremost, telling people what you do as far as your ibadah is concerned itself is highly unrecommended. It's highly undesirable. Second thing is that the person who is telling you whatever he or she is telling you, what is their qualification to tell you that? So just like this is the two things people do. They talk to anybody about their medical conditions and they talk to anybody about their religious situation. And both are completely wrong. Go to people who are qualified to answer your questions. Don't go and talk about your medical conditions to this one and that one and get all kinds of grandmother's recipes. Like COVID, I mean, this is a very good example. People have been walking around talking about all of these kinds of this remedy, that remedy, that this Joshinda, that Joshinda, and so on. Tell me, how many deaths did it prevent? Right? The reason for proper education is because it is done according to a systematic process, and then there is a testing of the person who is studying. The person studies under a sheikh, under a teacher, under a doctor, under a professor, and then the person is qualified, is given permission to teach. Now that is the whole thing. Now instead of that, you go talk to anybody and you get all kinds of answers and you get confused. Similarly, the other side of the story is fatwa shopping, where I mentioned this before also, people go and then they, on the internet, you got everything. You have everything. And the problem is that most people do not have the capacity to determine or differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. So therefore, you pick up something from the internet. It sounds convincing because whoever has written it knows how to write. And you are off on a tangential path, which in some cases can take you clean out of Islam. Believe me, Islam is a belief. Right? Islam is not a table or a chair or something. Islam is a belief. You change the belief, you're no longer in Islam. As simple as that. And then because you have changed your belief and you have exited Islam, it doesn't mean that, you know, you suddenly grow horns or a tail or something. Nobody will know except you when you meet Malakul Maut, and then you see Malakul Maut in a situation, in a state, in a shape and form that you didn't expect, and you say, what happened? I'm a Muslim. And Malakul Maut will say, no, sorry, you're not Muslim. Because you know, this was not your belief. Your belief got changed. So please, do not take your religion from anybody. Now, one of the biggest problems, one of the reasons why priesthood is banned and it does not exist in Islam is because this is what priests did. Priests in different religions, they pretended to be the agents of God. And they gave you orders on behalf of God. And they forgave your sins on behalf of God. Right? So it's a... this is the problem with priests. Therefore, then they change the religion. Because somebody comes to the priest and says, do this for me. And then this person is someone who can give a nice big donation to the priest. And so the priest allows him. And this is not, I'm not making all this up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they worship their قسيسين ورحبان. الله سبحانه وتعالى said that these people, they worship their priests and their monks. And the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallam, where the son of Hatim al-Tai, Uday bin Hatim, radiallahu anhu, before he became Muslim, he came to meet Nabi sallam, and he had a pendant of a cross because he was a Christian. So he had this pendant around his neck. Rasulullah sallam told him, why do you wear that? He said, don't wear this cross. Is a sign of, you know, people who believe that Isa alayhi salam is the son of God, and this is false. And he pointed to that, and he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that people worship their priests. So Uday bin Hatim said, Rasulullah, we do not worship our priests. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they worship their priests, their qisisin. So Uday bin Hatim said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not worship our priests. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, is it not true that Allah has made some things haram and your priests have permitted it? They have made it halal and you use it? So Uday bin Hatim said, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, also now Allah has made something halal, but your priests have prevented it. They have stopped it. And they have said it's not halal. And you accept that? He said, yes. He said, that is worship. To obey somebody in opposition to Allah is to worship that person or that thing in opposition to Allah. For example, in the Bible itself, the eating of pork is prohibited. And the Bible has those lines in it. Isa alayhi salam never ate pork because pork was prohibited in the Judaic religion, in Judaism. And Isa alayhi salam was sent to the Jewish people. So he never ate pork and he never permitted the eating of pork. And in the Bible, it is clearly forbidden. Similarly, but the Christians, they have permitted. So the Christians all over the world for centuries now, they have been eating pork, right? Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted people to get married. But the priests, at least in the Catholic Church, they have prevented the priesthood from getting married. So, nuns and priests are not supposed to get married. So, they have prohibited something which Allah permitted, and they have permitted something which Allah prohibited. And there are many other examples. I don't have to, I don't need to give all those to you. You know them yourself. Now, this is the meaning of worshipping. So, please understand, take your religion from people who know the religion and who are trustworthy. So one of the things that these priestly or priest aspiring priests do, in Islam there is no priesthood, but people are there. One of the things they do is that they consider themselves to be very sacred, and they consider themselves to be very pious, and then they try to get tough on everybody else, right? So, for example, one of my good friends sent me a message saying that I used to do the adhkar of the morning and the evening after Salatul Fajr and after Maghrib. But I met this lady who is one of these people who go around pretending to be holier than thou, wearing their clothes and their demeanor and so on, and becoming overly strict. So this lady says, no, you must do it before Fajr, and you must do it after Asr. So now this person got confused. He said, should I do it, should I not do it? So I said to her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an accountant, right? Allah is not a bean counter. Allah is not sitting there saying, I'm not going to accept this dhikr because it happened at 7:34, it should have happened at 7:35. Right? Or I'm not going to accept it because it happened at 7:44 instead of happening at 7:34. Right? What kind of thing is this? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your niyyah, your ikhlas, your devotion, your love for Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. The adhkar of the morning are supposed to be done after Salatul Fajr, and the adhkar of the evening should be done anytime after Maghrib until you go to bed. And if you do it something a little bit earlier or a little bit later, makes no difference. We are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What makes a difference is the ikhlas of your worship, whether you have joined any partners with him or not, whether you are committing shirk or not, the devotion, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are doing the dhikr, what is the state of your heart. These are the things which matter, not some ridiculous time on your clock. So please understand this. Do not do fatwa shopping. Don't go looking for convenient fatwas to help you to do whatever you like to do anyway. And also, do not take your religion from anybody, and especially not from people who want to make things overly difficult for you. Right? They're very good at these kinds of people are very good at. Giving you fatwas of kufr and this and that, and you know, you say something and oh, now you have left Islam. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Please understand, only Allah will decide who will go to Jannah and Jahannam, not any of these people. So forget about them, don't talk to them. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kitab, listen to what his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and try to practice it in your life. The main thing, the only thing which will count is how we practice this religion. Not some interpretation by some fly-by-night so-called da'iya or da'i or so-called scholar. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.